Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome aboard the Amy Beth Arkowitz Show here on Blog Talk Radio, where we weave together a mosaic of voices from the arts, pop culture, politics, and personal growth. It's our Monday Coffee Clatch edition, so hop into the mix here at 347-857-4505. Yesterday, we previewed the Grammys. No wardrobe malfunctions. There were a few wardrobe what-were-they-thinkings. We'll talk about that. And your favorite performances, because that's kind of what the Grammys are all about. They only give away a few awards on the actual showtime. They give away a whole slew of awards the night before and the day before. But they limit the awards. I think they said they only give away 10 awards because they want to showcase the performances. And I think they did a fab job on that. So what's your take? What was your favorite? 347-857-4505. And I think we have a mystery guest right here with us.
Hi.
Welcome. Hi, it's Mawa Mama. My sister Shauna is here. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, Amy?
I'm
so happy to be here.
Thanks for stopping by. I know you're the star of the Secret Double Probation reality show Mawa Mama. As people will realize, our family specializes in those such shows that nobody
yes.
ever watches or listens to.
Yes.
which is such a privilege and pleasure because we can get away with doing all kinds of things.
Yeah, not end up in the tabloids or anything. It's
That's
amazing.
Right. And we don't get paid either, so it's great. It works out well.
Yeah, it works out. I get paid
so
in chickpeas.
I understand you watch the Grammys as a favor to me. Is that right?
Pretty much. I'm really not a big award show person, although I love music. And, yes, I think some of the performances were really good. I'm just not into, you know, rich celebrities passing on accolades for themselves.
And they do that a lot. They do that a lot.
There's like more and more of them, yeah.
Right. Well, the reason I like the Grammys so much, more than some of the other shows, and I like the Tonys too, I think, because they have a lot of performances. They
mm-hmm.
highlight what the music business does best, which is a great cross-section of music. And over the last several years, they've been particularly adroit at combining those cross-generational genre-busting performances with different artists from different genres and generations. And I think they did a great job last night. I think a couple of my faves were the two tributes, the one for Bob Marley.
Thing, mm-hmm.
And the Marley kids, Ziggy and Damian and Rihanna and Bruno Mars. Thought that was great.
That was
and the
good.
One I was, yeah, did you like that one?
The
one
really
I was most looking, the one I was most looking forward to was the Levon Helm tribute, and it did not disappoint. Elton John, Zac Brown, Brittany Howard, how great was she from Alabama Shakes? I was hoping they were going to get the Best New Artist Award. It went to Fun, which also was deserved. And Mavis Staples brought down the house.
She was great.
Wasn't she? I mean, she's got
what
a great
a voice.
The woman is up there in her 70s, still looks great. My God, she brought it down. A fabulous performance of The Weight, so I thought that was great. Did you have any other favorites?
Well, you know, I don't remember the song very much, but the Carrie Underwood dress really, captivated me. I kept thinking, how is she standing so still? Because, you know, when you sing and you emote, it's very difficult to stand that still to be a projection screen. But I thought that was an interesting little technological trick there.
Yeah, Frank Ocean did a nice job, too, with the Forrest Gump backdrop, with that running scene, if you saw
mm-hmm.
that one.
Yeah.
What do you think about Taylor Swift and the opening Alice in Wonderland spectacle?
Oh, I missed that. I missed that opening, so I can't comment on that. I'm sorry. I was trying to get the kids to bed.
It was a spectacle, all right. I'm not a big Taylor Swift fan. I know I'm not really in her demo and all that. But it was fun. It was a good opener. I thought Lady Gaga was going to come out. It was that much of a spectacle. So.
Oh, wow. I'm going
to
have to check that out on YouTube, you know.
I was going to say, yeah, check it out on YouTube. And any surprise? Well, what about wardrobe malfunctions or miscues? Not malfunctions, but just ones that didn't make
well,
it. I think the worst dress had to be Miranda Lambert. Did you catch that?
Oh, see, I was going to say it was that girl Kimbra from somebody that I used to know. I'm not sure what she was wearing or not wearing, But when she came up with the little poofs of aqua tulle coming off her body, I thought that was bizarre. So, you know, that one really stands out in my head as worst dressed. But I don't know. Yeah, Miranda Lambert, not fabulous look.
Well, it didn't fit well. It was ill-fitting.
Well,
so.
Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, when Beyonce came out, when she was giving out an award and she was in that pantsuit, I thought that wasn't a particularly fabulous look. But maybe because it was so plain.
Yeah, well, she was trying to dial it back on purpose, I guess, because they sent out that memo, and I guess she got flack for her attire at the Super Bowl, I'm guessing. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, you're probably right, you know. You know, but Jennifer Lopez, you know, she even commented that she got the memo, and, you know, she was, you know, pretty much half-dressed.
Right. She covered up the top but not the bottom.
Yeah. Well, only half of her top.
She went the other way. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Interesting. But it was I thought it was a fab show overall. I mean, there were a couple of performances I didn't care for that not my genre or whatever, but I think they did a good job. And LL Cool J did a nice job hosting. I will say his opening gave me a run for my money for my, you know, no can do LL Cool J. I got the Senate filibuster gig. Harry Reid's authority called from my first demo show. He went on and on about his background, which was nice, but after a while, all right, you know, let's get to the, you know. But he did a nice job. He was, of course.
Yeah, he did a pretty good job.
Called back since last year. He did such a fabulous job bringing people together in the wake of Whitney Houston's tragic death. So I think overall it was a good, a decent job by all. And we're on to the next one. The next big award will be the Oscars.
I'm looking forward to that.
I'm looking forward to that, too. It looks like it's shaping up to be Lincoln versus Argo. And I think the Big Mo, I don't know if you agree with me, is in Argo's camp.
I did see both. As you know, I enjoyed both, but I think Argo is the better movie overall.
I do, too. And I also think it has the Big Mo because it's won a lot of the awards already leading up to it. The only thing, of course, is the wild card. Who is going to win director since Ben Affleck can't win director? He wasn't nominated.
Yeah, that was quite surprising because I think he did a really good job.
It was a great job and a perfectly paced movie, whereas Lincoln, not so much, in my opinion. But he did win the Directors Guild Award, so it's a rare year, because usually, not always, but usually the Directors Guild Award is the barometer for who's going to pick up the Oscar, because it's usually the same folks that are nominated.
Right.
So we'll see what happens. I mean, I'm not sure who else is on. I know it's Ang Lee, even Spielberg. I think Bigelow was also shut out, so I'm not sure. Oh, maybe David O. Russell for Silver Linings Playbook. So we'll see what how it shakes out.
That was a good movie.
That was a good movie. Not a great movie, but a good movie. Good acting.
Yeah, it had a lot of hype, and I think by the time I saw it, I was like, oh.
Yeah.
Like, hmm.
Me too. I just think that the story itself and the script didn't have as much depth as I was hoping for. I know a lot of people, it's a buzz that it helps people with mental illness and embraces people coping with that, which is great. It just does it not in a deep enough way, I think, for me. But the acting.
But maybe the book was deeper.
It may have been, of course. When you adapt a book to the film, it generally does change. They have to leave out certain things. Yeah, of course.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't read the book, so I can't speak to that. But the acting was great, and I think Jennifer Lawrence has a good shot at winning Best Actress.
She was very good, yeah.
It'll be a toss-up between her and Jessica Chastain for Zero Dark Thirty. I think it's going to come down to that. And actor, it looks like it will be Daniel Day-Lewis. So Bradley Cooper, unfortunately, who did a fab job in Silver Linings. And Girls is easy on the eyes, let's face it, is probably not going to win. But we'll see what happens. It'll be interesting to see if there are any surprises. That's always...
Well, Daniel Day-Lewis was a fabulous Lincoln. I mean,
he
had the physicality the combination of intelligence and just his tenderness and his passion. It was a really good portrayal.
It certainly was. You can't argue with that. It was an excellent portrayal. So, and I think he's kind of the shoe, and he's the one that's been winning all the acting awards. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. Sometimes surprises have been known to happen. And there were a bunch of movies shut out. You know, it's always interesting what movies don't get any attention. Hitchcock, I've talked about this before, No Can Do, and I thought it was a good movie. You haven't seen that one, right?
No, I didn't get to see it yet.
Good.
Guess that's the way to close the video.
I guess so. It didn't get a long play at the theaters. The other one that I really enjoyed that also came and went like in a split second, I'm glad I saw it when I did, was the David Chase film, Not Fade Away. about really a Valentine for rock and roll. And if you love rock and roll or you're a big dreamer, it's a great movie. And done well with a sensibility that you could tell it was done by the man that made The Sopranos, but not, no mob hits or anything like that, but just very Jersey, so you'll enjoy that, and very dysfunctional. Big on dysfunctional family and big on Jersey.
Jersey so. And dysfunctional. Fits me to a T. I gotta catch that one.
You gotta catch that one when it comes on video, right? No, really good and really an homage to rock and roll for those of you that enjoy that. So we'll see what happens as the award season rolls on, and if you don't want to watch it, you know, you can always figure out what happened, because the Oscars usually aren't as great as the Grammys.
Yeah, they're always a little draggy. They go over.
They go over forever, yeah. But they have Seth MacFarlane, the guy that does Family Guy.
Yeah, he's funny. He makes all those little funny voices. So maybe it'll be, you know, maybe the opening will be good.
and if he's tanking, he can always do a Billy Crystal impression.
Yeah, Billy Crystal is like the best.
Right.
He's
the best Oscar host. So Seth could just, you know, channel Billy if it really goes down, you know, if it's going to be Anne Hathaway, James Franco route of...
Oh, that was awful. I mean, that was all about wardrobe, I think, more than anything.
I think that was... Well, that was the year that they were desperately trying to go for a younger demo, and I don't know that it happened, but they really just missed the mark. It just wasn't good. It was worse than the David Letterman, Uma Oprah moment or whatever years ago.
It was not good. I remember that that year was not good. Speaking of Billy Crystal, I saw him recently in that, not personally, I saw him in that movie Parental Guidance, which I know is not really...
I did not see
him personally. I wish I did, though, because I really love him. Love him in,
yeah,
like, everything he's, you know, ever done, and way back in when he was in soap and everything. But and he's in my all-time favorite, you know, chick flick, which is When Harry Met Sally. And he's in he's the voice of one of my children's favorites, you know, favorite movies from Monsters, Inc. So, you know, we're pretty much Billy Crystal lovers over here, you know. But we saw him in Parental Guidance. I'm sorry?
You saw him in Parental Guidance. Okay.
We saw him in Parental Guidance with Bette Midler, and it was really funny.
It looks like a fun movie. That's a fun movie.
It was good for adults and kids. Like, the kids loved the humor, and there was plenty of humor for the adults, but there was this, like, a real sweet, sentimental family story there, too, that adults could enjoy, you know, not like, oh, I'm being dragged to another kid movie, you know.
More of a family movie as opposed to, like, just a cartoon, say, right?
Right, right. It was real nice. It was really nice to see, because we all enjoyed it.
And those two, Midler and Crystal, I'm sure have a good chemistry, because they look like they could work well together.
Yeah, they were really very good together. You know, Bette Midler looks great. I mean, she's, like, in the best shape of her life, I think.
She's been through the factory a few times, as she will tell you, you know.
Well, but I mean, she's like in good physical shape, you know.
Yeah.
I'm sure she's had lifts and things, but
right.
She's at a good weight. She doesn't look too heavy, you know, and she looks really fit. And that's great, you know, for her age too.
Absolutely. Speaking of weight, the big weighty issue in your part of the woods is the Chris Christie debate. You know, he's up in arms. One minute he goes on Letterman, eats a donut, and talks about his weight in a joking way, and then some doctor has the gall to say that he's a walking time bomb, and he explodes at her. But what's your take on the Chris Christie running for office and losing weight business?
He chewed her out and then spit her out. You know, chewed her up and spit her out.
which is the first time he's ever done that.
Ever done that, yeah. Yeah, exactly.
I'll be here all week, yeah.
But, you know, I've always said that I cannot understand that his advisors have not heavily recommended that he do something. And I'm sure, as you know, I struggle with weight issues. I know it's not easy to lose weight, but it just seems like he does not do enough to be proactive about his health. I mean, you know, he's so big.
I think he's going to have to get serious about it. It's a tough thing, and I agree with you, and I'm the same way, and we all have our issues with weight, but he is seriously obese. I mean, we're not talking about a little overweight. So it is a health issue, and it will come up as an issue, and rightly so. He has been frank about it. He has said he has tried on and off. I'm sure it is hard for him. I don't know what his medical issues are or aren't. He claims he's healthy otherwise.
But he's got to be morbidly obese. He is a very big man. when you see him. And he's in our local paper very often, because I'm in New Jersey, as you mentioned. So he's just a very large man. And there's just no way that can be good for his vital organs to be that big. And, you know, recently he was in our local paper, in the Bergen Record, and, you know, my husband commented, oh, well, this is how he's going to take care of his weight problem. And I said, what are you talking about? I look in the picture. He was standing next to a staffer that was bigger than him, and it did make him look smaller. I said, well, that's a temporary solution, but that doesn't really help his health. You know, if you surround yourself with larger people, you will look smaller.
Right. Yeah. No,
which, you know, is why I picked my husband, you know.
Hey. Come in on the next edition of Mawa Mama. No, but the thing is, you know, that's also going to become a big issue in terms of who he picks for his vice president. You know, he's going to have to be careful. I say this as we honor Sarah Palin on her 49th birthday today. Happy birthday, Sarah Kuda. You're going to have to pick wisely.
Exactly.
For vice president if he does make a foray into it. But, you know, there have been other people in public life who have lost a tremendous amount of weight. Mike Huckabee, for example, was very heavy when he was governor of Arkansas and made that a big effort. He lost a lot of weight and became a real role model in that state. Al Sharpton talked about it very frankly.
Oh, yeah.
He was over 300 pounds. I don't know how tall he is. I don't think he's terribly tall. He was on TV the other day talking about the whole Chris Christie thing. He said he's down to between 140 and 150. He became a vegetarian, so he says, and lost a lot of weight. He claims he didn't have any surgeries, just did it by dieting and exercise. So it's a tough thing. We all know it's tough, so I'm not in any position to say it's not. I have done the whole yo-yo business myself. But when you're, especially when you're that overweight, and especially when you want to be in a high-profile public office, it is going to be an issue that people are going to talk about. Now, could that doctor have phrased it differently? Maybe. Was she doing it to garner attention? I don't know. I don't even remember her name now, so I don't think so. You know?
Well, but she might have had a political agenda because she added the comment, he did not look presidential. So perhaps, you know, she wants to plant those seeds. She perhaps could have a political agenda of doing this rather than just looking to be, you know, a do-no-harm physician and helping someone.
But I wonder, in what context did it come up? Did somebody ask her or she came out with it? I mean, I don't even know how that came, you know, her comments came to the fore in the public arena, is my question.
I don't know, to be honest. I really don't. But it's getting attention. So, I mean, maybe it wasn't even meant to get attention, but some reporter, you know, caught onto it and then it kind of, took off, exactly. And, of course, it doesn't help because Chris Christie does have that tendency to be a little bullyish. And, you know, he should have let it go. I mean, he's not as bad as Donald Trump in terms of, you know, picking on someone and, you know, not letting it go and being the bigger person. But he had to, you know, retaliate and get in her face and have a whole conversation with her. And he should have just probably let it go.
That's the other issue with Chris Christie and how that's going to play out, play in Peoria, as they used to say, as we get closer to the actual election. He's the big grand, you know, darling of the public now because of the way he handled the Sandy hurricane and everything. But we'll see. His demeanor is very gruff sometimes. There are some likable aspects to it, I suppose. I mean, he's funny, he's self-deprecating, all of that. But, yeah, he does have that quick trigger temper, and I don't know how that's going to fly over the long haul. We'll have to see how that goes as well. Speaking of Donald Trump, the new thing is, have you heard that he's suing Bill Maher?
Oh, yeah. That is, like, so ridiculous. He needs to look up the definition of joke.
I know, he's suing Bill Maher. Just to put in context, if anybody missed this, Bill Maher announced this on his HBO show the other night, because Bill Maher made a joke during the campaign. As we know, Donald Trump was one of the big birthers about the birth certificate, and then he wanted to see President Obama's college records, and he was offering money to a charity if he showed it and the whole bit. So Bill Maher said, well, I want to see Donald Trump's birth certificate because I think his father was an orangutan because of his crazy orange hair or whatever. And so he's suing him for that. He showed him the birth certificate. The lawyer produced the birth certificate, and now they're suing him for $5 million.
Yep. It is ridiculous. I mean,
well, Donald Trump has to be in the news, and the media gives
him. He loves attention. He just does.
He really does. I mean, he needs that attention. He will be in a public feud with anybody he can find, and this is just the next one. So.
Yeah,
I don't get it.
I mean, he's such a little man if you think about it. He's got to put his name on everything. Everything's got to be gold gilded, and
yeah.
He loves to have his name plastered
yep.
everywhere, positively or negatively. He doesn't care. He just wants the attention. You kind of wonder, you know, poor little, you know, Donald
yeah.
when he was a boy didn't get enough attention from his mommy and daddy or something because he's so starved for it, you know, for such a
he
rich
is.
Man that could really do so much with his life.
Yeah.
This is what he, you know, remember when he had that those petty fights with Rosie O'Donnell? I mean, you know,
yeah,
he just
Rosie
could not
O'Donnell.
Let it go. And it
Rosie O'Donnell, Alec Baldwin, I mean, there's a public fight
yeah.
around the corner for whoever. I mean, it's just...
Exactly.
And now it's Bill Maher. It's a little nutty. It's a little nutty. Hey, Mawa Mama, it's a pleasure. I hope you come back and join us on the show. You obviously have lots to talk about, lots to say about a lot of things.
Not as much as you, Amy.
Well, yeah, nobody has as much as I do, but, you know, we have to balance the hot air with the cool air, as they say. So. Blends it all together. It's always a pleasure, and we will talk to you next time.
Okay. Bye, sweetie.
Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having
Everybody,
me.
I got bad news. We've been canceled.
Oh, no. Peter, how could they do that?
Well, unfortunately, Lois, there's just no more room on the schedule. We've just got to accept the fact that Fox has to make room for terrific shows like Dark Angel, Titus, Undeclared, Action, That 80s Show, Wonder Falls, Fastlane, Andy
Hello?
Richter Controls the Universe, Skin, Girls Club, Cracking Up, The Pits, Firefly, Get Real, Freaky Links, Wanda at Large, Costello, The Lone Gunman, A Minute with Stan Hooper, Normal Ohio, Pasadena, Harsh Realm, Keen Eddie, The Street, American Embassy, Cedric the Entertainer, The Tick, Louie, and Greg the Bunny.
Is there no hope?
Well, I suppose if all those shows go down the tubes, we might have a shot.
Welcome back. It's the Amy Beth Arkley Show here on Blog Talk Radio. We're taking your calls for a few more moments at 347-857-4505. It is the Monday Coffee Flash Edition, so anything on your mind, what happened over the weekend, the Grammys, the State of the Union coming up tomorrow. You have any comments about that? Let us know. Again, it's 347-857-4505. Hi there, caller.
Hi.
Hi, who's this?
Hi, it's Pauline.
Hi, Pauline. How are you?
I'm good. I wanted to call you because I have nothing to talk about the Grammys, but I wanted
okay.
to say hello to the author of the book I just finished reading with my book club.
Oh, yeah? What book
Does
is that?
Does everybody know that you wrote this really great book, Killing Time? I had such a good time reading it.
Oh, Pauline, you're making me so happy to hear that. Thank you so much. I'm glad you enjoyed it. I have occasionally been known to throw in my shameless Chris Matthews plugs. I don't like to do too many of those, but I have mentioned it, yes. It's the first of a series, by the way. The second one, it's the Eliza Gordon Cozy Mystery Series.
When is the second one coming out? Because my book club would love to have you over for coffee and cookies, and we'll read your book. Maybe you read a little bit from it.
Maybe I would. I'd be happy to do that. We'll have to arrange it. I don't know exactly when it's coming out. Hopefully later this year. But we're still working on the publishing contract. So we'll see what happens.
Oh, okay. Well, I can't wait to read it because we really like Eliza. We're hoping she, you know, she gets a little nookie with the police officer.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll see what happens. You'll have to read the second one.
Wink, wink. Come on, give me a hint.
I'm so glad you enjoyed it. Well, there will be a little more romance. There may be also some complications in the second one. I'll give you that much.
Oh, well, it's a mystery. There's got to be complications.
That's right. That's right. So you like mysteries, Pauline? Is that one of your favorite genres?
I do like mysteries, but I like mysteries with a little bit of humor, which is why we really liked Killing Time. And, you know, I like a little romance because there's not so much in my department anymore.
Well, you never know. Valentine's Day is around the corner, so you never know what might happen.
Yeah, Valentine's, Schmalentine's. It's just an ordinary day.
It's an ordinary day and a good excuse to buy overpriced roses and eat a lot of chocolate. So.
The chocolate I'm into. Maybe that's why I don't have so much romance. I don't know, you know.
No. Doesn't chocolate have the same chemicals in it that, you know, when you fall in love you have in your brain or something?
I don't know. I do love my chocolate, though. So,
okay.
That's always good. You could, you know, tell my husband, get me some chocolates, I'll be happy.
All right. So, Pauline, what are you doing? What are you into in terms of movies? Anything?
We don't go out to the movies too often. My husband, Herman, he falls asleep, so it's just not worth the $12 ticket or whatever it is these days. So we stay home. Sometimes watching Law and Order.
They're on all the time, Pauline. You can always catch them on video, though, right, the movies?
Yeah, that's true. Netflix, maybe.
Yeah, but not your main thing. You like reading more than watching TV.
I read more, yes. I like to read, and I knit.
And you knit. That sounds good, Pauline. I'm impressed. And I'm so delighted that you called, and I'm gratified that you enjoyed the book. Please tell your friends. Well, your book club also read it. How do the other people in the book club like it?
Oh, they liked it. They liked it. But as I said, we want a little nookie with the police officer. Or the police chief, whatever, you know.
Police chief, yeah, you don't want to demote him. He's a police chief, that's right.
But, you know, poor Eliza, you know. She needs a little something-something.
Okay, she does.
Something other than just soup, you know. There's more to life than soup and murder.
Hey, by the way, well, sometimes murder will get you in a big pot of soup. But by the way, Pauline, I don't know if you know about this, but I'm also running a killer cuisine recipe contest on my website. If you go to my website, amybetharkawy.com, that's A-R-K-A-W-Y, you'll find out that if you notice in the first book, we have two soup recipes at the end of the book because Eliza runs the local eatery known as Soup Opera. She's a former soap star who now makes lunches for people. I guess that's more glamorous, right, after being on TV. And she, so I'm opening it up to soups, sandwiches, and desserts. So if you have a recipe, you might wind up in the second book.
Okay. That would be exciting, except the best thing I make is reservations.
All right, Pauline, fair enough. Listen, it was a pleasure talking with you. Thank you so much for joining us. And will you come on again?
Oh, I'm going to be listening because you're my favorite author right now. So, you know, I'm going to be listening because I can't be reading. I need that second book.
All right, I'm going to work on it. We'll see what we can do. I'll keep you posted, Pauline. Thank you so much for calling in.
All right, have a good day.
Okay, you too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. And you can get into the mix, too, at 347-857-4505. It is the Amy Beth Arkowitz Show. A couple more minutes left on our Monday Coffee Clatch edition. So stick around.
Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back after these brief words from our sponsors.
Chock full of nuts is that heavenly coffee. Heavenly coffee. Heavenly coffee. Chock full of nuts is that heavenly coffee. Better coffee a millionaire.
On the Amy Beth Arkowitz Show here on Blog Talk Radio. And, you know, the premise of the show is that everyone has a story, and I want to know yours. So if you have one, if you're an author, if you're a musician, a filmmaker, a social crusader, someone with a great story to tell, hop over to my website. It's amybetharkowitz.com. Again, A-R-K-A-W-Y. You can also hit me up on Twitter at A.B. Wright. And click on the little contact icon and just tell me what your project is, and we'll see if we can get you on the show. Simple as that. Speaking of which, our regular Friday show at 1 will feature some interesting guests this week. We'll talk with Bill Dean. He's the author of Smooth Operator, a one-man American crime wave. We'll talk about this practice of criminals getting get-out-of-jail-free cards for becoming federal agents. Mm-hmm. That plays out like a movie, doesn't it? Speaking of movies, a man whose life was actually played out in the movies, is Elliot Tiber, the author of the memoir Taking Woodstock. It became the Ang Lee film a few years ago, and he will talk about seeing his life on the big screen, or a reasonable facsimile thereof, and also working with Ang Lee, who's a phenomenal director. So that's all coming your way. this Friday at 1, our regular time here on the Amy Beth Arkowi Show on Blog Talk Radio. Thanks to my sister Shauna, the Mawa Mama, for stopping by, and Pauline for calling in, and for you for joining us on this little special edition as we continue to get the kinks out. I look forward to seeing you guys here on Friday at 1. In the meantime, please, I know a lot of folks went through some hardships over the weekend with the bad weather. Hang in there. Drive safe. Play nice. Dream big. We'll talk next time. Come on.